welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is WebSphere MQ for ZOS version 7.1.0. Today's presenters are Beverly Brown, Blanche Ishida, and Doug Bender. Beverly has been with WebSphere MQ Level 2 support since 1997 after 10 years with KIX support. She supports WebSphere MQ primarily on the ZOS platform. Blanche currently has the title of Advisory Software Engineer. She has worked with IBM Customer Support and Services for the majority of her career. Currently, she is a member of the ZOS WebSphere MQ support team. Doug has been with WebSphere MQ Level 2 support since 2003. Currently, he is a Level 2 Customer Support Engineer for WebSphere MQ for ZOS, WebSphere Service Integrated Bus, and GDDM. Previously, Doug worked as a Level 2 Customer Support Representative and CICS support. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Blanche. You may begin.
Thank you, David. You go to slide 2, please. First of all, just thank you all for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us for today's presentation. And I'm going to go through the agenda of what we're going to cover today. And what you'll see is basically the agenda and the presentation is based on two tech notes, 1596103, which is the WebSphere MQ for ZOS 7.1.0 migration and installation. And there's information there, and also Tech Note 1596102 for problems and solutions when migrating to WebSphere MQ for ZOS version 7.1.0. And you'll notice if you're looking at the slide or the presentation, anything that's in bold blue is a hot link, so it'll actually take you to the document. And what we're going to be covering is the information sources, maintenance, installation, migration, configuration, new function, and common problems. And we put together the presentation and the tech notes to help you if you were to review everything before you either install or migrate. It'll help you to minimize any problems, and you'll be forewarned of any known problems in that. So if we could go to slide 3, please. Okay, information sources. The first one is the WebSphere MQ support portal. That's our main homepage for WebSphere MQ. And the second is the WebSphere MQ online information center. So the information center has been reorganized with task-oriented topics. And basically, they'd be reorganized with the product overview, planning, migration and upgrade, installing, security, configuring, administering, developing applications, monitoring and performance, troubleshooting and support, and reference. And again, the bold blue, if you click on it, it will take you directly to the item. And there are new options as far as for search that you can search selected topics or search selected topics and all subtopics. And again, there are no PDF or book manager formats. We go to slide 4, please. Maintenance. Okay, we have a Tech Doc 7006519, which lists the migration-related maintenance for fallback and coexistence. And there are fixes for the release being migrated from and migrated to. And the Tech Note 1577300 contains a list of closed APARs for WMQ for ZOS 7.1.0. You should note any hypers on that link. And also, as you're applying maintenance, if you run across any unresolved plus plus APARs or APARs that you find that if you would just open a PMR and you can come to us, and if there is a plus-plus APAR available, we'll make it available to you. And if not, then we will work on getting one to you. And the other is one of the key APARs is PM55455. That was the one that's for various problems encountered in the queue manager after the final test cycle. And then there was an error, so there's a PM60765, which is repackaging PTFs for APAR PM55455. And the next piece of item information that you would want to review is the PSP bucket, which includes the cross-product dependencies. I'm going to go ahead and pass it on to Doug Vander.
Thank you, Blaine. Slide five, please. Okay, I'm going to go through the next three sections. Installation is the first one. We recommend that you review the Info Center, the section that is labeled Installing the WebSphere MQ for ZOS product, and also look at the system requirements item that's out there. The item number is 7023058, or just take the hot link. That will have things like the system requirements for ZOS is 1.1 or above. Also use the program directory that is supplied for version 7.1.0. And there's a section in the Info Center about configuring ZOS that also should be reviewed. Slide six, please. In the Info Center, there's another topic about migration, and this section is migration. It contains information about coexisting migration paths, migrating clusters and queue sharing groups. There's a capability in version 7 that if you have a queue sharing group, that you can migrate one queue manager at a time, and the others can either remain at version 6 or 7.01 and continue to function. So, you know, you can do it in per queue manager and still have high availability. And OP mode is another thing to look into for the backwards migration, and we'll talk about that in upcoming slides. Slide 7, please. Starting with 7.01, the queue manager will automatically resize your objects the first time the queue manager comes up. Previously, the sizing was done when the actual object was altered, either description or some other field in the object. Now, with this in mind, when you come up the first time, if you have thousands of objects, there could be a slight delay in the queue manager coming up. Support pack MP1H documents the increase in the object size and the effect on page set 0 and the extended private storage. Slide 8, please. OP mode. OP mode, you can have it set for new function or compat. It controls the availability of new functions such as shared message data sets, support and toleration of loss of connectivity to the structures. If you have it at compat, which is what you'll get if you take your CSQ6 SysP and compile it with the 7.1 libraries, then you can fall back. Once you go and use new function, which will get you the new functions, you can set it back to compat, but you won't be able to migrate back to a previous version. Slide 9, please. Ensure you apply the migration PTFs for version 6 or version 7, whatever you're running, and the link for that was referenced on page 4 of this pitch. Once you get those fixes in place, restart the queue manager so you pick up the updated code. We've had sometimes where the restart was not done and they just migrated, and that will cause some problems. Ensure you install the 7.1.0 early code. It's downward compatible. And then you can go ahead and start the queue manager at 7.1.0 with the 7.1.0 code. Again, if you're running, you can fall back to version 6 or 7.01 as long as you haven't gone to new function mode. You can always set it back to compat, but you won't be able to fall back. Slide 10, please. If you create a brand new 7.01 view manager, you won't be able to migrate back to version 6 or 7 because it came up initially as a brand new 7.01 view manager. 7.10 view manager. Okay. Alternate fallback methods. It's always a good idea to, before you start any migration, is to back up your page sets, the BSDS and logs before going on and make sure it was a clean shutdown. Slide 9. Slide 11, please. Okay. The connector, some of the connector types, IMS batch and RRS, allow applications to connect to different levels of queue managers. And when you're running, you should run with the highest level of that that particular connection type should be included, the library for that should be included. And most of the time that's in SPSQ-auth. So if you're at the highest level, it also allows you to run a lower level against the lower level queue manager. Slide 12, please. Here's connection swap. Is a parameter now in CSQ 6SP. And review the topic of customizing the queue manager in the info center. Again, the blue links will take you there. Migrating from version 6, there's a, in CSQ IMP2 data sets, there's a difference. There's CSQ 4 INYS and CSQ 4 INGS, and a new one of CSQ 4 INRS. Be sure you set the memlim to exploit the 64-bit storage and review the PS mode settings to select whether you're going to use publish, subscribe. Okay, I will turn this over. Slide 13, please. And I'll turn it over to Blanche.
Okay, thank you, Doug. Okay, so I'm going to go over and recap some of the, for those who are, you know, maybe still at version 6 who have not migrated yet to version 7. And, you know, this is for the main topic of this presentation is version 7.10, but I'm just going to go ahead and recap in the next two foils some of the new functions that were available, that became available in version 7.00 and 7.01. So on slide 13, the new functions for 7.00, there's a reference for TechNote 1312983, which has additional details about the new functions at version 7.00 if you're interested. But here's some of the highlighted functions that were added in there. So there was a publish, subscribe, PubSub, WebSphere MQ client enhancements. And with the client enhancements, you can be full duplex. You can allow to share a conversation with a socket for ShareConv, and you can do asynchronous put and read ahead, instance limits on ServerCon channels, and weighted client connections. As far as the JMS enhancements for the resource adapter, there was some new architecture, the resource adapter, the exploitation of client enhancements, and more efficient message selection and tracing. And the other new functions were RACF mixed case support, the client attachment feature which allowed you to have five free client connections for administration for MQ Explorer for a broker, and also the MQ Explorer enhancement for administration of ZOSQ managers. We go to slide 14, please. Okay, so new function for 701. This is just, again, a recap. So there is a tech note and actually a webcast, and we will be updating the presentation, but I'll go ahead and give you the tech note number. It's 140-6779 and a webcast 701-9916. So the tech note is 140-6779 and the webcast 701-9916, which will give you some additional information about the new function at version 701. So some of the things, again, are the use of 64-bit storage for some internal control blocks. We did log compression and the OP mode property to control availability of new functions, and the admin structure recovery. This will be the first queue manager started can rebuild the CSQ admin structure, and the generic application structure backup, and this allows you to use a wildcard. The backup CF struct command will now allow a generic structure name by using a wildcard. And the transaction recovery within a queue sharing group, the group UR, it's a UOW can be owned by the queue sharing group, by the QSG. And I'm going to go ahead and Beverly will start reviewing the new functions for 7.1, and I'll pass it over to Beverly.
So, David, if you're able to hear me now, if we go to slide 15. So I'm not sure that anybody was able to hear any of what I first said, so I'll start again on this for the channel access control or channel authentication. And this is one of the first new functions of 7.10 that I will be speaking about. This is a cross-platform feature, and it provides more control over the access granted to connecting systems at a channel level. And you do this by defining rules using new set channel auth commands. One of the advantages that you can get from this is, for instance, you won't need to use a channel security exit to block clients that have a blank MCA user. Or you could map a channel's user ID, for instance, a Windows or Unix user ID, to a valid user ID that is defined in RACF, and that means you won't have to define all of those users to RACF. And these days, people do have to do some sort of an exit to do that. And you can block or allow or map four main things: IP addresses, user IDs, queue manager names, and SSL or TLS distinguished names. Now, this is not a replacement for a firewall, but it could be used for a simple avoidance of denial of service attack, but you still really want to use your firewall to do that. And usually with this, you'll start out by blocking everyone and then doing the rules to allow back in who you do want to allow in. Now, when you first migrate a queue manager, by default, this is disabled. So that will be comparable to how it was at 701. But if you define a new queue manager, the default is that this function is enabled. So you could get some unexpected 2035s if you haven't gone in and done some configuration with this. Now, the whole function itself can be controlled by an alter queue manager parameter called channel auth, and the options are enabled or disabled. But again, there's the set channel auth that would let you do the rules. There are sample definitions in CSQ4INSA. For instance, it uses a system.channelauth.data.queue for these rules. So you'd want to use that to set that up. All right. Slide 16, please. All right, CF Level 5 for coupling facility structures. This is going to control three main new functions. One is shared message data set support, and that we'll talk about on the next slide. Toleration of a loss of connectivity to the CF structure, we'll talk about that on the feature slide as well. And also, there is some additional support for Prop Control V6 Compat for shared queues. This has to do with allowing the queue to be used with PubSub or with message handles. And the V6 Compat actually came along at 7.01 with an APAR, and it just has to do with delivering unmodified RFH2 headers to applications that may be sensitive to the ordering of the folders or attributes in the name value section. All right, slide 17, please. So, as I mentioned, shared message data set support, or SMDS, this allows you to offload large messages, and by large, I mean greater than 63K, messages for shared queues to an MQ-managed data set rather than to DB2. And by doing this, you gain performance improvements, and the storage is cheaper. So if you take that link to support pack MP1H, that is a performance report, and that will give a lot of good detail about the advantages of this new function. So there are new SMDS and SMDSCon commands, and there are new options on define CF struct or alter or display CF struct. So if you go look at the installation and migration tech note that we mentioned at the very beginning of this presentation, it will list those, and then you can also go to the Information Center to get more details on that. Now, there are also statistics associated with this function, and the data definition for that is in CSQD, QESD, and then CSQ4 SMFJ has a new DD QESD. Slide 18, please. All right, so additional resilience to a coupling facility connectivity failure. First up is CFCon loss. On the queue manager definition, this attribute controls whether loss of connectivity to the admin structure is tolerated. On the CF struct definition, this attribute controls whether loss of connectivity to that application structure is tolerated. The values are terminate or tolerate, or on the CF struct definition, there's an as queue manager option. Now, to be able to use the tolerate option, that requires you to have all your queue managers at the 7.10 level and op mode newfunc. Slide 19, please. So another new function is group unit of recovery support with KIXTS 4.2. 7.01 introduced the concept of group unit of recovery support, or group UR. But this 7.10 extends that to KIX transactions. So group UR requires an op mode of compat, 7.01 or higher, as shown in the display system. To clarify that, there is the op mode definition, but when you do a display, there's another op mode value that will show what value you still are able to fall back to. So the key is what you can fall back to. So if you still could fall back to version 6, this won't be available, but it would be available if you can fall back, if you're only going to fall back to 7.01 potentially. Now, the function here with KIX allows you to connect to any suitable queue manager in a queue sharing group that's running on the same LPAR as that KIX region. And you configure it in the KIX MQCon resource definition using resync member group resync. Okay, slide 20, please. All right, FIPS compliance for ZOS. And actually, 7.10 also has the FIPS compliant on the distributed platforms. So this has to do with SSL and the Federal Information Processing Standards. There's a new attribute on the queue manager called SSL FIPS, and that specifies whether only FIPS-certified algorithms are to be used if cryptography is being used. And there are some new cipher specs available. Those are listed in the migration tech note as well. They were big, long characters, so I didn't want to read those out, but you will be able to see those in the migration tech note. And also, there is a function using distinguished encoding rules, or DER, and that will extract more information about the subject and issuer distinguished name, and that can be passed on to a security exit, and it has to do with the SSL peer and SSL cert I fields. Those names could be used in there as well. Slide 21, please. OTMA resource monitoring. There is now some message flood detection where MQ can throttle the rate at which messages are passed to IMS. And this is because if you end up with too many pending transactions in IMS, the control box associated that can exhaust storage. So MQ will slow down and then can speed back up as it detects this information from IMS. And we get this from OTMA protocol messages that are available in an IMS version 10 or higher. This function also requires op mode equals new func. Slide 22, please. There's a new option for MQ open called MQOO bind on group. Or if you're using the bind as queue defined, a new option on the queue def bind, and that's the group option for that. And this says that the application requests a group of messages are all allocated to the same instance of a cluster queue, because you would want your group of messages all going to the same queue manager. Another new function is the use DLQ attribute on channels and topics, and this allows you more granular control of your undeliverable messages. Slide 23, please. A couple of other new channel definition and status options. First, there's batch lim. This is somewhat similar to batch size, although batch size has to do with the number of messages. Batch lim has to do with the amount of data in kilobytes before a batch commit. Now, I mentioned reset seek here, and I have found that the code to fully implement that was not available. So in our updated version of this presentation that we'll be putting out there, this line item will be removed. There are also our product and our version on display channel status. Our product will give you information such as whether the queue manager, the channel is connecting from a queue manager on ZOS or a non-ZOS platform, whether it's a C client or .NET client or Java or JMS. So that can be helpful as you're looking at your client channels to figure out what it is that's coming in and which version of client is coming in. Now, these will be blank if the remote partner is version 6 or earlier. But if the other end is version 7, then this will give you some additional good information. The CSQ-util utility got a new sload option for selective load, and that's where you may have done a copy or scopy of a page set, and it has multiple queues on it, so now you can selectively load a single queue. So that will be a nice function. Slide 24, please. There's a new initialization data set called CSQ-INPT, and this is to be used for publish subscribe commands, for instance, to define subscriptions. And these need to be done after publish subscribe initialization. So the define sub for system.default.sub and anything else is no longer permitted in CSQ-INPT2, so those would now be in the CSQ-INPT. And there are some sample definitions and commands relating to this in CSQ4, INST, and INYT. So now I'll hand back over to Blanche.
Thank you, Beverly. Let's go to slide 25, please. Okay, I'm going to go and review some of the common problems that we've seen at version 7.1.0. So the first one being an ABAN 5 Charlie 6 with a reason code of 00 Charlie 9 0 Dog 01. And generally see this at startup, and it means that the queue manager is being backward migrated, but backward migration PTFs are not installed. So
or the new the queue manager is being backward migrated but has been previously run with the new funk at version 7.1.0. Okay. So if we go to slide 26, please. And again, just to reiterate that if you the failure to apply the coexistence or backward migration PTFs to the prior release, and again, that's the reference to the tech doc 7006519 before trying to fall back. So if you don't have those PTFs applied, then you'll probably run into problems when you try to fall back. And PM 58871 is CSQ5PQSG when you might migrate to a data sharing group or a queue sharing group, and there is a typo on the second line where it says incorrectly reports that the it should be data sharing group is ready to be migrated. And we should be, you know, returning an error. So this PTF PM 58871 will fix, correct that error. The APAR is closed, but the PTF UK 78436 is still in open status. And the expectation is that the PTF should be available at the end of next week if all the testing goes well. So if we go to slide 27, please. Again, PM 63464, ABIN 5Charlie6 with the 00Charlie6 0006 is received when running an MQ utility program, and the message table CSQFSTAB is missing from the SCSQ ANLE. And there is a that APAR is open, but there is a local fix, and right, it's followed there. It says do an apply redo of the base and features together to resolve the problem. There's also a server pack APAR, OA38849, that also references this issue. And another hyper APAR, PM56193, where you'll might see some insufficient ESA storage. So if you review that tech note at the bottom there again, 1596102, for other tips, that'll give you some solutions to problems that we've seen or when you're migrating to version 7.1.0. If we go to slide 28, please. So in summary, basically we went through, the presentation is referencing these two tech notes, 1596103 and 1596102, the migration and installation tech notes, and also the problem tech note. And they're a great place to start. And one of the things, again, anything that's in the references to tech notes or the information center that are highlighted in blue are hot links, so it should take you right there. And we also, in reference, basically if you review these items and go through the migration and installation instructions in the info centers, and you should, avoid some common problems that we see. Some of the things of not having migration PTFs applied, and those generally turn out to be weekend call-outs. So, you could avoid some grief by just reviewing these and starting there before you install or migrate. So what we've covered today, we've gone through some information sources, reviewed some of the maintenance and installation, migration, configuration, and some of the new functions for version 7.1.0, and again, some ways to avoid some common problems that we've uncovered. If we go to slide 29, please. And these are just some additional WebSphere links that are available to you that you can just, learn about upcoming Westies and that. So if you just reference those, I'm sure some of you have already seen this before. And I'm going to go ahead and thank you all for your participation and joining us for our presentation. I hope you found it helpful, and I'm going to pass it back to David.
Thank you, Beverly, Blanche, and Doug, for a great presentation. And finally, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE Subscribe to get a list of mailing lists and to subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know via that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. We welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. At this point, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
One moment, please, for your first question. Barton McEvely, your line is open.
I have an open PMR right now. I'm on version 6.2 of a new, probably a vintage 2008 that I've inherited, and I put all the maintenance on up to get us up to 430 of this year. But I thought I could just put the version 7 early code in first and then start converting to the high level of version 6 and then on to 7.1. And my chins all get a SOC 1 with the version 7 early code, so I opened the PMR. I just wonder if anyone else had a similar issue.
Actually, I'm not sure that any of us was the one that was working on that particular PMR.
No, there is one name that matches Blanche, but I don't think it's you.
It was Martin, you said?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And your other queue manager came up fine, though, correct? You have other in another LPAR?
I run MQ in 4 different LPARs, about 40 of them. On our tech support system only, I upgraded. Now, I also ordered version ZOS 113, which came with version 7, so I already have it, which is my ultimate goal to get to. Then I ordered all the maintenance up to 430.2012 for version 6, and I've applied that to my S&P zone. What I believe the problem is then we run on runtime libraries for all those queue managers, have their own set of runtime libraries. I suspect that they aren't exactly equal to one another and that my Victor system is slightly ahead of it, and that's why the version 7 early code works there but not when I move to one of my other LPARs. If this is going to take too long for the group here, I can just give you the PMR number and...
I have it, Martin.
Okay, good.
Okay. I think we've seen anyone else run into that particular admin that you're seeing.
Basically, the chin gets a SOC 1. The actual master comes up fine.
Right.
But, of course, it's unusable, and then my IMSs and CICSs that connect to that particular queue manager also get a SOC 1 at the same time. And I can tell you this last weekend I experimented. What I did is I moved that 430.2012 early code in, and it worked fine. So I really was just looking for confirmation on my PMR that I must have something missing on my existing version 6.1 MQ on those other LPARs. Some PTF that would allow it to work with 7 right now.
Technically, you shouldn't have to put the version 6 maintenance on to work with this version 7 early code, but...
That's what I was hoping not to save a step or two, because I have a lot to do and it's just me. But I plan to go up to the version 6 anyway so that I have all the compatibility PTFs and so I can migrate back and forth.
That's the best.
Anyway, but I did expect it to work.
Yeah, that should. There just must be some mismatch somewhere.
Right.
As Blanche just pointed out something, hopefully you're all aware that version 6 goes out of support at the end of September of this year.
Absolutely the catalyst I'm working toward. But I also we have a huge distributed MQ environment here as well, and they're already moving along. They're already in Devon QA, and I would love to get a version 7 Devon QA up by the end of July. And I'm going to have to do this whole process several times, you see. Get the early code up, get to the high-level maintenance for MQ6, and then at least get one of each of the 7s up for them so that to make them feel good. So I don't have a lot of time.
I'll follow up with you, Martin.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
Yeah, the last time I updated stuff, I think, was last Thursday.
Okay.
And what I did since then is I actually brought up one of our systems with the 430.2012 early code version 6, and it worked fine. Which I haven't updated the PMR with that information yet.
Okay. It was missing that initial hyper.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I think there's one or, you know, or more PTFs
here
missing that I actually have on my tech support system, but it predates my time here.
It is missing.
Yeah.
First
PTFs. Yeah.
Is there a mod I can look at using just like a FileAid or something where I can see the UK numbers in there and know if I'm on the right track here?
Yeah, Flash can give that through the PMR.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. I can go in and go, oops, it's missing on CSQXSCHD or something, you know?
Right.
I can put that in there for you, Martin.
Awesome.
Okay.
This may be a good opportunity to go back to one of the questions that was in the chat, what's the better way to upgrade from version 6? And you can go directly from version 6. There is documentation of that direct migration path. You should not have to go to 7.01 first to go to 7.10. But you just want to be aware of any of the changes that came along in the intermediate release, and that's what we referred you to. Are there any other questions?
Frank Bright, your line is open.
Hi. I just wanted clarification on full function versus compatibility. If you're on 7.01, do you need to be full function mode in order to go to 7.10?
No.
No. Okay. And is there any disadvantage in not being full function mode?
Just that handful of functions that are controlled by that parameter would not be available.
I'm sorry. Can you hang on one second? You're just going to have to hold your question. All right, sorry. So there is no, other than the functions that you would be missing because of the capability given by full function mode.
But everything else you'd be fine to migrate on.
Okay. That was my question. Thanks.
Okay.
We had no further questions.
Thank you, Jackie. I did collect a few questions from the group chat. And one of them you've already addressed about migrating from version 6.0. Alexander Mendez also asked, is there any Q parameter to keep the compatibility with MQRFH structure on version 7.10?
Based on the timing of that, I didn't notice whether that came in before I mentioned the V6 compat.
I'm not sure either.
Is that, if Alexander is still there, did that already get answered?
Yeah. She may not be on the phone. She may just be listening on the...
Okay.
Well, I see her, though. She's still on the web conference.
Okay.
Alexander, if you want to ask on the phone, you'll need to press star 1.
Just update the chat again.
Or update your chat.
Hopefully we already did answer that, just maybe with the timing of when the question came in.
Okay. We also have another question from Jim Kelly. Are there any gotchas with upgrading an MQ 6.0 cluster to 7.01 or 7.1?
There was reference to the section in the migration topic in the Information Center that would tell you how you should do the migration. You know, whether full repositories or partial. So there are instructions on which order to do that.
Okay. Yep, Jim says okay. I haven't seen any other questions in the group chat. So with that, we will conclude this presentation, and we hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation and hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you again, Beverly, Blanche, and Doug, for presenting.
You're welcome, and thank you all.